Thank you for staying with us for our WHUR-WHUT-TV Wednesday edition of the Daily Drum. Tonight, DC's Back to School Basics. This is part one of a two-part series. Next week, we will sit down with DC Public Schools Chancellor Dr. Lewis Farabee. Tonight, parents, teachers, and students are sounding off on the new school year. We talked a lot during the first segment about school safety. We're going to continue with that just a little bit because there are some things that I think are really important when we're talking about the mindset of teachers as it relates to, for example, the information coming out of your survey, President Polk-Lyons. Is the present climate making things difficult for teachers to teach? Is it making it difficult for students to learn? And I don't know how you quantify that, but your thoughts about it.
It is making it difficult, but I'm speaking as someone that has been teaching for 30 years. This month it makes 30 years, and I can say, besides being a mother to my son, this has been the most rewarding experience is teaching in the District of Columbia. But the school system that I started teaching out in and the school system now, it's different. When I was a newbie, I was surrounded by mentors who were probably in their 40s and 50s. I had professional development that was just really strong. And there was a sense that there was a real sense of community, because many of the teachers in that school had taught the parents and sometimes even the grandparents. And so you had a real sense of I'm going to come and stay. And now I know it's a different world. I know that people are not making a commitment to this job for 30 years like me. But I don't think we're going to see the real outcomes for our students unless we can convince our young people the way I was convinced, that this is a rewarding job. There's nothing... sometimes I'm a religious person. I said it's the closest you can get to God sometimes, when you can take a child that you're wondering where they're going to go. And then sometimes by springtime, they blossom and they're reading and they're writing and they're doing math. But we have to give our new teachers the supports necessary, the supports that I got 30 years ago. I want to see those same supports for our new teachers. And it's something, like I said, I can say that I've done this for 30 years, but I can honestly say I probably won't be doing this for another 30 years. But when I leave, I want to make sure that there's a foundation of people that feel like I can come and do this and I can make a career out of this, because I'm getting all the necessary supports to do what I need to do in the classroom.
Mm-hmm. You know, Taylor, if you'll allow me, we know that you are... You know, they say cream rises to the top. And so we know that, you know, you are part of, you know, some of the best that the DC public school system has to offer regarding students. But I'm sure you've also seen some students who may be, struggling to learn because of the current atmosphere. Is it difficult for some students, your peers, to learn?
I think so. I do see some people that are unfocused, and like things that might happen in the environment might be causing that as well.
Mm-hmm. What kind of activities? Let's learn a little. Let's get into Taylor's business just a little bit. because as I said, you're doing well, and I'm sure you're going to do even better once you get to McKinley Tech. But what else is it that you're doing, you know, on your own, or what is it that your parents have you doing that is helping you to excel? Because I think, you know, for you, there may be a blueprint for education in some of the things that you're doing.
Basically, my parents, so they would like me to be involved and not really shy away. So taking opportunities like this one and being involved in extracurricular activities, And also, they want me to, like, talk to others that are or that have already experienced things. So my sister, she'll be a senior at McKinley Tech, and they want me to talk a lot to her about things that will be happening at McKinley and things that I'll be experiencing.
I'm planning on getting to some leadership positions there? I mean, after you get your homework done.
Yeah, I hope to be involved in extracurricular activities like that.
Yeah, well, let us hope so. We're definitely going to follow you. I want to get back to the phone lines. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Nico, thanks for hanging on. What's on your mind? Nico, are you there? Nico, give me a call. Yeah, I'm fine, thank you. What's on your mind?
All right. So I wanted to just jump back on topic, you know, get back on topic from Jeffrey from Harlem. I give DCPS a B just off the strength of the metal detectors inside the building, you know. That's why when you all did that survey, teachers say they aren't that worried about this, their own safety because, you know, the crime has been going across the nation with inside of the school building. Really don't have it at DCPS. I grew up in the city. And I went to DCPS all my life. And, you know, one thing I realized when I went there from middle school on up, elementary school we don't have it, but middle school on up, metal detectors, it's safe to go in, you know. And that cyber bullying, that's on a whole nother level. That's going to take a whole village. That's why that new organization you got in the school or whatever Ms. Lady said earlier, but the parents stepping in, it's going to take a village to do all that. After school, everybody got to be hands on deck. And number three, the reason why teachers' salaries are low, because they step in programs to reduce their student loans. That's why the turnover rate is not that well, because once they enter and finish their program, they up and leave, going to other places. Okay. So that's why a lot of teachers come here to the city. They to reduce those student loans, get rid of them three years, and the turnover rate is gone.
Okay. Nico, thank you so much. He said quite a bit. I do want to ask about the metal detectors. Where is the district on that? I mean, is that something that they're using? Is it hand wands? Because you know that Prince George's County just made the announcement several weeks ago about something that they're going to start doing because of some of the issues that have been presented there regarding gun violence in the school system.
Well, we do have metal detectors, and I want to just add one thing. The teachers are saying they, because this is how teachers are, they are more concerned about their students, just like parents are more concerned about their children. Not that they don't worry about violence against themselves. It's just they are really, it's emotional to watch your students being bullied or beat up by other students. So they are concerned about their safety, but just being teachers, they still have a greater concern over the violence, the student against student violence. Mm-hmm. And a lot of what they're seeing is not being able to redirect students. So if you're in a classroom.
And what do you mean redirect them?
A lot of, particularly high school, it was interesting to me when I would talk to veteran high school teachers who would say, normally I could tell a child or redirect a child to say, do this and or not do this, or if you get this done, then we can do this. Children who would normally not speak back to them, they were finding after they came back to school in person after COVID that kids would actually like start screaming and yelling at them, veteran teachers, and it wasn't easy to redirect them to get them focused back on the work or the task at hand.
But let me ask you this, because everybody at this table, with the exception of Taylor, is old enough to remember what schools were like pre-COVID. This did not just start.
It starts at home.
At the pandemic. I mean, when I was in school back in the Flintstone ages, there were times when some students, they cussed teachers out. They yelled at them. They were disrespectful. Obviously not at the level that we are certainly seeing now, but that didn't start in January of 2020. This has been an issue for a while.
Right, but if you think about we had kids that left kindergarten and then they came back, and some kids came back and they were in third grade or second grade. Some kids left middle school and came back and they were in high school. So all those foundational things that you learn when you're in middle school, then you go to high school, they miss that. There were some teachers who said that kids missed so much in a year and a half, 2 years, that they didn't even know how to hold a pencil. So the basics that they miss. And then the reason why I say we need wraparound services is because people experience a lot of loss. There's some people that lost jobs, some people that lost family members, some things that we just don't even know. And so we have to grapple with that, and we can't act like it doesn't exist. And we've seen, even more importantly, when you talk about bullying, especially social bullying, we've seen an uptick in girls of color who are considering suicide. How do you deal with that? You know, it's going to take, like the caller said, it's going to take a community. And we can't continue to exist in silos. There's room for everybody at the table to deal with this.
Have you heard discussions about that kind of thing, Taylor?
Yes.
How do your peers deal with that, those whose, you know, mental health is in a good space? How do you deal with those young people who are having those kinds of really hard challenges?
I would recommend, like, talking to somebody, because I know me, I don't necessarily like to talk about myself or talk, but I know that is something
I
need to do.
You've been doing a good job, though.
Okay. Excellent. So, excellent job.
I know that it's something I need to do and work on, so I would recommend or talk to somebody that has experienced it and has gotten better.
As a mother, Ms. Williams Tolson, I am quite sure that kind of discussion about a really, really young person wanting to take their life is yet one more difficult weight to bear. And looking at it as a parent, you're still kind of on the outside.
Well, as a single mom, I have two daughters. I have an open relationship with them where they can talk to me. I want them to be comfortable enough to talk to me or someone in our family circle. If they don't feel comfortable talking to me, they can talk to them. But as far as the bullying and the young man called in about the village, mm-hmm. It takes a village. And I also wanted to say that it starts at home. Even though the teachers, they have their jobs, but us as parents, we have to do our jobs at home. Okay. It starts, especially throughout the pandemic. There was a lot going on with homeschool. Parents really had, it was our place to step up to make sure that they were online, on time, and not going to sleep, so on and so forth. Because I know some people did experience that along with trying to work themselves at home.
Yeah.
So it definitely takes a village, but I do tell my kids to be comfortable enough to talk to me about anything. Don't hide.
Let me go back to the phone lines, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Gakenia, did I get that right?
Yes, Gakenia.
Gakenia. I'm working on my names. You're calling from Maryland. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Yes, and actually now listening to everyone, and especially Taylor and her mom, they both hit it the nail on the head. And that is, yes, it takes a community, but teachers, our first teachers are our parents, and parents have to be held accountable for the responsibility of sending their kids to prepare to learn in schools. Yes, the administrators do too need to be responsible and take leadership of their school, because their school is their home for the kids while their parents are at work. But the parents also need to be engaged with their students and their learning. And I kudos to Ms. Taylor and her mom, because she's a single parent too. But you know what? She's doing what she needs to do, because she said it herself. It is her responsibility. Yeah. And it is unfortunate. We need to have the resources in place in the schools to accommodate those that need the extra source, even for the parents. And that's where we have a problem, too.
Yeah.
We definitely need to have parental, we need to have social workers in school and counselors in schools so that the parents can also get resources and to support themselves and their needs to support their family.
Well, thank you so much for your comments. Just a brief one. This isn't Taylor's mom, although. that's all right. Taylor has a mom. Her father's in the studio. I don't want to cause any problems with Taylor's father. I've met him. He's a fine man, but this is not his wife. So let's get it right. That's quite all right. Thank you so much for your phone call.
Very much.
Thank you so much. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Taylor, your father's going to sleep on the couch tonight. Let me go to Tanya. Tanya calling from Maryland. Tanya, thanks for hanging on. What's on your mind?
First, I want to comment. Taylor, oh my goodness, she speaks so very well, and I definitely wish she have a phenomenal first year in high school, and her high school years just be great all the way through.
Thank you.
You're welcome, sweetheart. But I do want to say this. I did hear about the bullying, and I know I have two daughters as well. What I did for their phone, first of all, they couldn't get social media until they was mature enough to handle social media, first and foremost. Second, I had a parent watch over both of their phones as to where I controlled their internet access, what apps they put on their phone, even down to the phone calls, because when I would punish them, I would only restrict them from being able to call just me, their dad, and their grandparents. That's it. No calls will come through. No calls can go out. I restricted their phone during the daytime when they was in school. They could not. They could only call just their parents during the day, and then in the afternoon it'll pick back up. But that parent control is phenomenal because my kids didn't deal with bullying per se, but they definitely didn't deal with anything concerning cyberbullying. Then on top of that, I pay the phone bill, so I have all passcodes. You can't have no passcode that I can't have.
Yeah.
So,
therefore, it takes a village, but it also takes parents. There's a lot of parents, and I understand there's a lot of single parents, and I give the most to single parents because I've been married to my husband, and my kids, it's our only kids, so I've never experienced that. But I do know from seeing their friends,
mm-hmm.
I would help with their parents, with those parents that may have to work late or whatever case may be, they can be at my house to make sure they're safe.
Yeah.
So it does take a village,
yes.
And it takes those parents that do have the availability to help out that next parent to make
Well, Tanya, thank you so much for your, for your comments. And, Miss, Williams Tolson, so Tanya sounds like you.
Yeah.
Sometimes this is Sparta. You gotta bring it with the kids.
Yes, and I agree with the passcodes because I pay the bill. I have both passcodes.
Yeah. I wanted to talk about some of the other issues that are really germane to where we are right now. I want to go back to the whole contract thing. We historically, the contract negotiations have been muscular over the years between the Washington Teachers Union and DCPS. And I don't mean just over the past handful of years. It's been like that for decades. It's never been easy.
Nope.
Where do you believe you are right now? What do you believe are the sticking points?
Well, we are so happy that we were successful in November. I believe that this contract that we were able to fight hard for, but finally come to the table and agree that this was the best thing for the children of the district to get and keep great teachers. But unfortunately, we weren't able to extend it. So it's almost like Groundhog's Day. We are back at the table right now. We are hoping that DCPS will come to the table with us really soon, because this contract ends September 30th. And I am stayed on the prize of getting this done by September 30th, doing something new that hasn't been done in the district for years and years, which is get a contract signed on time. This will be major in helping, in letting our teachers see, and our students and our families and our community see, that we are about the business of teaching our kids, and we know that we can only do that if we get and keep great teachers.
So how do you do that? What do you want?
We want DCPS to come back to the table to us, with us, tomorrow. I'd be willing to do it night and day, 24 hours a day, to get it done by September 30th. The last contract that we signed, it was 3 years in arrears, which means we had to pay teachers 3 years of retro. Mm-hmm. Some of our teachers are still waiting for some of the money that they're owed. We can't keep going down this rabbit hole of signing contracts late. It is demoralizing to teachers. You say you respect them, you say you honor them, but when it comes to getting something done on time, we're waiting. So I'm optimistic. We are willing to work hard, and we hope that DCPS is willing and the district is willing to work hard for us to get it signed on time.
But coming to the table, that's foundational. Getting signed on time is foundational. Not paying contracts in arrears, that's the floor. As they say, what do you want them to bring to the table other than showing up?
We want them to show up. Like I said, we have an MOA about safety and coming together on violence in the community. We want to have wraparound services for our students. These are just some of the things that are in our contract. We want great working conditions, because we know that great working conditions means great learning conditions for our kids. Those are some of the things that we as a union, the Washington Teachers Union, we're still continuing to work on for our kids. And so you say coming to the table is easy. Sometimes it's not easy, we're at the table by ourselves.
Well, that's the thing.
We have to make a commitment to say we want to get this done on time, so that we don't have to keep talking about a contract, that we can put our energy into what's important: dealing with violence, dealing with great outcomes for our kids, getting and keeping these wonderful teachers. I say it all the time. DCPS does a wonderful job at getting the best and the brightest. If I applied today, what I applied 30 years ago, they probably wouldn't hire me. They get the best and the brightest, but we fail at keeping them. This contract that we signed in November was a great start. I know that if we can get this done by September 30th, it means a lot just for the morale of the city, for both the teachers and the students and their parents, to say we have a real commitment to learning in the city.
How is DCPS doing with student-teacher ratio? I know that the surrounding jurisdictions are really having a hard time bringing in teachers. You know, there were reports Prince George's is short some 1,200 teachers, more than 200, I think, in Montgomery County and the like. Where is DC?
I will find out tomorrow at new educator orientation where we are. I will be addressing the new teachers. I just received the list today of new teachers. And so we still have a little bit of a battle to fight to get and keep teachers, just like everyone else around the country. Mm-hmm. And I think that because we are the capital of the nation, we are in the nation's capital, we could be a shining star on what to do mm-hmm. to get and keep teachers.
Ms. Williams-Sosin, speaking of teachers, you've had obviously a lot of interaction with them. They know you well.
Yes.
what has your relationship been with teachers over the years with your, you know, with your daughters? Not Taylor again, but but all jokes aside, I mean, how has that interaction been? How has that relationship been?
Overall, the relationship with the teachers have been good. All not good in some cases.
Give me an example.
Okay, so my youngest daughter, well, both of them, they would come home sometime and feel some kind of way about a teacher.
What kind of way is that? Whenever somebody says, I'm feeling some kind of way, I always ask, what kind of way is that?
Just like Taylor's dad and I had a conversation. We were just talking before the show, and we were both on the same page when our kids would come home thinking the teacher doesn't like them or care for them. And I tell them sometimes, I tell my daughters, sometimes they could be having a bad day. And just don't think that they don't like you. Don't feel that way. You know, do what you're supposed to do and just get your work done, because we're not here to like, we're here to learn. So, but on the other hand, there are some great teachers that my kids have had. For one, I have to give him shout out, Mr. Burks. He's a push.
Yes.
He's great. At Elliott High Middle School, he's taught both of my daughters. And when I tell you, when they're falling or lacking, he pushes them. He gives them that push, and I give him that permission to do so, because we need teachers like that. We need more teachers to be able to push our students.
Yeah, and I think that's the important part. It's one thing to have a teacher who is willing to push, but they have to have permission.
Yes.
To push, so that if an issue comes up, that the parents are parenting, the teachers are teaching, mm-hmm. and if your child is giving pushback, which is not to say that you don't believe your child or what have you, mm-hmm. but you know, we're the adults.
Yes.
You're there to learn. If your teacher doesn't like you, okay. But did you learn?
Yes.
Did you learn something?
Yes.
You know, it's like Steve Harvey said, I'm not your friend. Mm-hmm. I'm your parent.
Yes, exactly.
I think that, as someone just texted me, old school parenting, old school teaching.
Yes.
But it's difficult for old school in this modern world.
It is.
Well, I want to add, and this is going to be the topic of my conversation when I speak to the new teachers tomorrow, that yes, I am not your friend. I am your teacher. I'm not your friend. I'm your parent. But I'm going to tell the new teachers that kids won't remember most of what you taught them, but they will remember how you made them feel.
Hmm.
And I can say this, the most gratifying thing that I experienced last year was that a student that I taught 25 years ago said to another teacher in the city, I'm a teacher because of Miss Lyons.
Hmm.
And the teacher said, I know Miss Lyons. To hear that this student said, I wanted to go into teaching because of Miss Lyons, is it just fills my heart. Or not to brag, but I had First Lady Michelle Obama come and visit my classroom.
Wow.
And when she got ready to leave, the kid said, you can't leave. You got to stay. Please stay. She said, I have to go back. They said, well, where do you have to go? This is the best place. She said, I have to go to the White House.
Mm-hmm.
They said, no, you have to stay here. Miss Lyons gives us cookies. Miss Lyons, Miss Lyons makes us feel good about our work. They didn't, and I was teaching them how to read, I was teaching them how to write, I was teaching them how to do math, but the thing that they really wanted to get home to Michelle Obama, the First Lady back then, is that this is a place where we love to come, so you need to stay because this place makes us feel good. So yes, we have to do the reading, writing, and arithmetic, but kids will not care what you think, okay? And what you have to say until they know that you care about them.
I do have one more point, and I think this is really important. Truancy. How, in your opinion, is DCPS handling it? Short of, you know, issues of violence and the like, truancy has got to be one of the most difficult things.
It is, because you're not going to learn unless you're in the seat. And it's something, again, where we all have to come to the table. And I hear we do want parents to be parents. But it's different. They don't have the lifeline that my mother had. My mother had her older sisters. She had her mom. We had a village that she could rely on. And she was a single parent, but she had so many people that she could rely on and call on. And my mother was a great parent, but knowing that you have someone to support you. Many of our parents, and all of our parents want the best for their kids. No one says, I want my son to be a crack dealer. Mm-hmm. They want the best for their kids. They just don't know how to do it. And that's why at the Washington Teachers Union, we support community schools. Community schools fill those gaps that some of the things that our parents don't have. We teach our, we support them with dental and vision and parenting and social and counseling and we build in psychologists to come and fill in the supports that my mom had and many families have. They fill in the gaps, and we know that that can help with truancy, because it is a problem. Yeah. It is a problem. You have to be there if you want to get great outcomes.
I only have a couple of minutes left. I wanted to give each of you an opportunity to give a final word. Taylor, do you have a final message for your peers, students, teachers, your final thoughts?
I would just say focus on what you want, because there can be a lot of distractions, and it can get in the way of getting what you want, and that might not be what you want.
Yeah, focus. I like that. Ms. Williams-Tolson?
Yes. I would say for the children that's starting in the upcoming school year to become ready to learn and to be focused and alert. For our parents, we can just step it up. The ones who haven't, show your face in the school. Let the teachers and staff know that you're there and that you are that supportive parent.
Okay. Real quick, Ms. Lyons.
As always, I'm nervous, excited, and honored that I get to represent the best teachers in the country. And I'm looking forward to a productive, peaceful, and safe school year. And thank you for having us.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. Now, before today's broadcast, I spoke with my mother about her experiences with violence in school. Now, she has more than 40 years experience as a teacher and school administrator in the DC public school system before she retired. She said in her day, students did fight each other. You know, kids do that. Mm-hmm. But violence against teachers was unheard of. Unfortunately, that was a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away, to use a Star Wars reference. The world has changed drastically, and children have also changed. And maybe finding a safer, more peaceful way to educate our children also needs to change. Maybe. Just maybe. Next week, part two of our series on DC's Back to School Basics, we will speak with DC Public Schools Chancellor Dr. Louis Farabee. That is the Daily Drum for this Wednesday, August 16th. I'm Harold Fisher. Good night.